1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The National Weather Service confirms four tornadoes touched down in the Pittsburgh area yesterday, causing a lot of property damage. CBS News Pittsburgh reporter Jessica Guay.
No injuries have been reported from this tornado, even though it went through all those different roads. And here at the zoo, there was actually an event going on, but the zoo says that everyone's okay. The animals, the guests.
The death toll from Thursday's severe thunderstorms in Houston has now risen to seven. Mayor John Whitmire.
Certainly 80, 90, and possibly 100 miles per hour winds. It's amazing to me how it bounced off buildings. But the good news is it's behind us. We're focusing on recovery.
Some parts of Houston may have to wait weeks before electricity is restored. It's a major step in the effort to get humanitarian aid to civilians in the Gaza Strip.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby made the announcement.
First shipments of humanitarian assistance arrived on the shores of Gaza.
They arrived through the maritime corridor that included a temporary pier built by the U.S. military.
So in less than 2 months, the United States was able to assemble a complex multinational logistical mechanism to facilitate the delivery of life-saving assistance.
Now those pallets of food and other aid are being distributed inside Gaza.
The UN has now taken possession of these first pallets.
Admiral Kirby says more aid will be arriving in the coming days. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Attorneys for Masters champion Scottie Scheffler are pushing back on reports that their client injured a police officer when he drove around the scene of a fatal pedestrian accident in Louisville, Kentucky. The incident happened as Scheffler was heading to the golf course for the PGA Championship. More from CBS's Dunya Buckus.
An attorney for Scheffler also described it as a misunderstanding and denies the golfer assaulted the officer with his vehicle.
I think the officer that was directing traffic was maybe not part of the event traffic detail, and so that's where the miscommunication arose.
Hotel security video from 2016 appears to show Sean Diddy Combs brutally attacking his then-girlfriend Cassie Ventura in the hallway outside their room. The video was obtained by CNN. More from CBS's Elise Preston.
Combs, wearing a bath towel, then grabs her by the back of the neck, throws her to the ground, and kicks her. He kicks her again as she lies motionless on the floor before dragging her back down the hallway. A different camera angle appears to show Combs throwing a vase at Ventura. The video seems to corroborate some of the allegations detailed in a now settled lawsuit filed by Ventura back in November.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across to Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, May 17th, 2024. Happy TGIF, Mr. Zommers.
And happy Friday to you as well. What a wonderful day.
It is. We are high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square here in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. High is predicted to be near 80 degrees, sunny, and looks like same weather through the weekend. Should be picture perfect for most of Wisconsin this weekend.
Perfect weather for me to stay inside in the air conditioning.
But for me...
I understand. It's great.
Yes,
for
it
most
is great,
people.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, the pollen seems to have lessened somewhat. I can feel myself recuperating from the old spring allergies a little bit, not completely, still a little clogged, but getting there. So, and what a night tonight! Looking forward to this in nervous anticipation. Joining my compadres, as we say in Spanish, the parents of my godsons, Kurt and Florcy, coming up from Monroe, Wisconsin. And we're going to Bree Stevens Field, not to see the fantastic Flamingo soccer team, but we're going to see the fantastic Willie Nelson and family in concert at Bree Stevens tonight.
And that, I'm very excited for you. I actually had a bad dream about that last night.
Oh, no. What?
I did.
Really? Did you?
Yes.
What was it?
I almost don't want to say it.
Oh, Lord.
But no, it was basically, I just had a dream that you got to the concert and they had to cancel it because Willie Nelson died. And I was
no.
I was so upset. I was so upset.
Wow.
Now, I don't know why.
I think he's in fine health. He turned 90, and I think it'll be fine.
I was just thinking about it because I was like, that's so cool that Todd gets to go see Willie Nelson. And then my brain twisted it into something so dark and terrible.
These are the dreams that Mr. Zomers has about my life.
Apparently.
The tragedy.
Tragedy.
Tragedy strikes. I have enough real life tragedy. I don't need to invite dream tragedy in. But no, I'm excited about it. Should be a great time. And I believe his oldest son, Lucas, is traveling with him right now on the tour. And he has a phenomenal voice in his own band, in his own right. But boy, when he sings his dad's songs, it's eerily similar to the tone, the tenor, the vibrato. So I can't wait. Because I've never seen, I don't believe that Lucas was traveling with him last time. I saw him about 10 years ago across the street at the Overture Center with my good friend Chris Geezy. And we sat high in the balcony, and there was a certain perfume that got up that high, and there was something in the air. We'll say that
maybe while he's playing "Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die" or something.
we'll feature a little Willie Nelson music throughout the show in honor of Willie. How about that, Mr. Zomers? We'll dial up a few tunes. So
sounds good.
We'll leave it to you to decide what you want to do. But Willie Nelson in town, so welcome to Willie and the entire Nelson family. Hope they have a great stay and a great time here in Madison, Wisconsin. We'll report to you on Monday what we found out there, how the concert went. But whatever you all are doing this weekend, make sure you do it safely, make sure you have some fun, and a good time will be had by all. Perhaps you're going to be listening to certain stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, to the Brewers, as they are on the road tonight. They are at the Houston Astros. First pitch at 6:35 tonight. You can hear the game in Richland Center on WRCE in Racine and Kenosha, and also on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh, and 98Q Country in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. So Brewers, I believe, a three-game stand over the weekend, Friday, today, Saturday, and Sunday against the Houston Astros. Then they move on to Miami to the Florida Marlins. So there you go. Tune in the Brew Crew and find out what's happening. They're still doing strong, still doing well. So that's fantastic. A little off the text line here, by the way. Listening on WAUK from Horicon, Sherry in Horicon said, "Good morning, boys from Horicon. I love Willie." Well, who doesn't?
We also got a couple comments on YouTube.
Yeah.
Tony says, "Somehow Willie Nelson has maintained a very low-stress life, so
right?
He's going to live forever." And PJ says that he saw Willie last year at Alpine Valley.
Really?
And giving you some advice. Make sure you inhale the great air that will be there. And Tony also said, really soak up the quote-unquote atmosphere.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, a little contact is okay. A little, I mean, sometimes you go out to Rocky Mountains, Rocky Mountain High. Sometimes you get a high without even going to the Rocky Mountains. So we'll see what's in the air tonight. But I think really the key thing is going to be the music.
And obviously.
The guitar picking. That's the key thing, you understand, is going to be in the air. Well, a big show coming up here, and some of it more lighter fare. Going to check in on No Mo May. Why No Mo May may be No Mo. So we'll find out about that. And also, what would a Brontosaurus burger taste like? Remember the old cartoon series of the Flintstones? Apparently, researchers have now dug in and tried to figure out what an actual Brontosaurus burger might have tasted like.
I'm interested to hear that. I know I read some research on what a T-Rex burger would taste like. I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay.
We'll get to it after you talk about the Brontosaurus, but it was very interesting to hear.
We'll get into that. And also a little bit more serious news, although it's just, here's where we're at today in American politics and news. A Supreme Court justice is now under fire, Samuel Alito, after it's come to light and proven that during the 2021 era, leading up to January 6th, apparently The Alitos flew an American flag upside down. The New York Times has exposed this. And the way that Justice Alito is trying to cover this up, it's just, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So we're going to check in with that a little bit, get your take on that. But first, some rather odd news from this morning, fairly breaking news. This from Axios. A police officer has been hospitalized after an incident that led to Scottie Scheffler's arrest. A police officer hospitalized this morning after being dragged by golfer Scottie Scheffler's vehicle near the site of this year's PGA Championship in an incident that led to Scheffler's arrest. Now, the big PGA Championship this weekend on CBS television. Why it matters, according to Axios, Scheffler, the top-ranked golfer in the world, was charged with, get this, felony assault on a police officer and three misdemeanors for the incident, which he says was, quote, a big misunderstanding. All right. He was released from jail later this morning and showed up shortly before his second round tee time at the championship, one of the PGA Tour's four major tournaments of the year. Driving the news, roads near the country club in Louisville, Kentucky, where this is being played at, were blocked this morning after a fatal incident involving a pedestrian, according to local news reports. Now, we don't believe, it's not being reported, we don't believe that Scheffler was involved in that incident in any way, shape, or form. Scheffler's arrest citation noted that police had closed a road leading to the golf course in both directions and a detective was directing traffic. Well, Scheffler headed eastbound, pulled into the westbound lane. The detective stopped him and, quote, attempted to give him instructions, per the citation. Instead, Scheffler, quote, refused to comply and accelerated forward, unquote, dragging the detective to the ground and injuring him in the process. The officer was taken to the hospital for further treatment. The Louisville Metro Police Department did not immediately respond to Axios' request for comment. Scheffler was booked into the Louisville Metro Department of Corrections shortly before 7:30 this morning, per The Athletic. Now, I mean, what's going to be very interesting is how CBS, and knowing them and knowing Jim Nantz, probably not going to talk about it much at all, if any. But here, the number one golfer in the world is booked into the Louisville Metro Department for Corrections on the same morning that the PGA Championship takes place. And of course, you know, a guy has a certain amount of money, a person, and can afford certain attorneys, he's going to make his tee time. Now think what would have happened if that wasn't a white dude of privilege. I don't think that person would have made their tee time.
They may not have made it out alive.
I'm just guessing. Point well taken, Mr. Zommers. Scheffler now faces four charges: second-degree assault of a police officer, third-degree criminal mischief, reckless driving, and disregarding traffic signals from an officer directing traffic, his lawyers told reporters this morning. Scheffler has been scheduled, had been scheduled to tee off for his second-round championship at 8:48 local. His tee time was pushed back to 10:08, per the Washington Post. Mr. Scheffler isn't going to be able to make his tee time. He's in the slammer. There is video apparently showing Scheffler arriving at the golf course just after 9 a.m. In a statement posted to his Instagram story, Scheffler said he had been, quote, proceeding as directed by police officers, unquote, amid a chaotic scene. Went on to say, quote, there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do, he wrote. I never intended to disregard any of the instructions, unquote. He went on to say, quote, I'm hopeful to put this aside and focus on golf today, unquote. Then he went on to express condolences to the family of the pedestrian killed in the earlier traffic incident. Again, to be clear, no indication that Scheffler had any involvement whatsoever in that tragic life-ending incident earlier in the day. But, I mean, I don't know. If there is a detective directing traffic and he stops you, and he comes over to tell you where to go, and you accelerate and drag the police officer with you, the detective, I don't know how that's a misunderstanding. If I see someone with a badge or a gun or whatever that says stop, I'm going to tell you where to go. I don't just accelerate. I mean, I don't know, Mr. Zombie. I mean, what if you had that happen to you, would you accelerate?
No, I would be stopping and listening to what the uniformed person is telling me to do.
And realizing it was a detective, but most, so they might be in street clothes, but a detective usually would have a badge on his or her belt or probably have a gun holstered, or maybe not. But I mean, I would probably, in a situation like that, if anybody's directing traffic and they put up their hand and just approach the vehicle, I'm not just going to accelerate.
No, I'll stop.
Right. In the words of the great Vern Lundquist, CBS golf announcer, oh my goodness. Back with more on the All Ball Show. It's Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 past the hour of 12 noon on a Friday, May 17th. The wonderful, the fabulous Willie Nelson in concert tonight here in Madison. Looking forward to going. Mr. Zomers, well done. Playing that in honor of Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, maybe he should not be on the road again.
Scott, this is a very odd story. Number one golfer in the world, the PGA, Scotty Scheffler, arrested this morning and then released after dragging a police officer, I guess, from the window. I don't know exactly how it happened. But there was another traffic incident where somebody tragically got killed, a pedestrian. So police were directing traffic. And Scotty Scheffler was trying to get to the country club for his tea time. And apparently this detective asked him to stop and approach the car. And instead, Scheffler accelerated and drags the officer with him.
Maybe he had some contraband he was trying to hide in his car. I don't know. I can't think of a reason somebody would do that.
It's all very odd. But again, he was released, so... Apparently, he made his tee time, and he will play the PGA Championship.
Although Tony did say, I did hear that he was in a PGA car, and others were being waved through.
Oh, really?
That on Up North News.
On Pat Cradlow's show? Okay, well, so he was in a PGA car. Others were being waved through, but...
But his wasn't.
Right. For whatever reason. Who knows? It's going to be very interesting to follow this over the weekend and find out what happens. I mean... Last big golfer was, of course, Tiger Woods, when he had some addiction problems for various reasons and got in a car accident and with his golf. Well, he's gotten a couple of car accidents. The last one that hurt his leg, I don't think it had, it was more of a, just a normal traffic accident. But when he was younger, of course, he got, he was on painkillers and drinking because all the pain that he had endured through his injuries. So Tony says he was charged with a felony and still gets to golf today. Yes, not saying that he's guilty or innocent, but that seems surprising. But again, I Tony's right. But as we talked before, it may have more to do with a person of wealth and privilege. You know, justice can be bought to a certain degree.
Yeah, we know somebody who's getting some nationwide coverage on that very thing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I hope he enjoys the graduation and actually attends it today.
I hope that's right. It is Baron von Trump's graduation today. So I hope that the Trumpster is there. We'll see if he turns up in Minnesota, as he said that he might do as well. So anyway, we'll keep following the Scottie Scheffler story. And if there is new news to bring you, we will do it. I want to turn to this rather odd story. Other stories been making news this morning. And this comes to us, there's various iterations of it being reported. This comes to us from Talking Points Memo. Great kind of insider political baseball stuff. I like the way it's written, so I want to bring it to you. This is by reporter David Kurtz of Talking Points Memo. Headline, The Insurrectionist in Our Midst. Stay with us here. We'll pick it up probably after the bottom of the hour break. It says here in Talking Points Memo, though we certainly did not need it, yesterday was a reminder that convicting, defeating, and incarcerating Donald Trump won't, by itself, rid us of the lawless insurrectionists that now populate the Republican Party, Congress, and, yes, the Supreme Court. In a breathtaking report from the New York Times' relentless Jody Cantor, neighbors of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito provided evidence that the American flag was flying upside down outside his Alexandria, Virginia home in the run-up to January 20th, 2021's inauguration of Joe Biden. An unmistakable emblem of protest heavily adopted by the big lie, Stop the Steal crowd in the weeks after the 2020 election. I want to step away from the story here. For those that might be not of a certain age, you won't know this, but back in the days, particularly of one-room schoolhouses, and even after that, in rural areas, in particular, rural schoolhouses, this is long before the internet, long before smartphones, in some cases, long before telephones. But for a certain period of time in our country, many people, particularly schoolhouses, other places in the country, would fly the American flag on a daily basis. And so if you had a one-room school teacher or if you had a rural school and you couldn't, and you, maybe someone was very, very ill, maybe a teacher, someone was having a heart attack, maybe a child got injured, whatever it might be, someone from the school that the students and the teachers were trained, the way that you got help is you went outside and you quickly took down the U.S. flag, and then you turned it over upside down, and then you re-raised it. So if you see, for many years in this country, if you saw an upside down American flag being flown, it was a well-known symbol of distress, and that those people need help.
I might be wrong, but I believe that was used in the Navy as well.
Matt Flynn could tell us, but I don't doubt that. That could very well be the case. But so the upside down American flag meant something. It meant that help was needed immediately wherever you saw that flag being flown. And so, you know, fast forward to 2021 and MAGA Republicans, people, believers of the big lie and Stop the Steal thought, oh, we'll fly the flag upside down to show that we're really serious about this, which, of course, is just as a reminder, it has been proven time and again by reporters, both conservative and liberal, by courts and justices and judges, including many of those appointed by Trump himself, it is beyond a shadow of a doubt that the 2020 election, Joe Biden won the election, Donald Trump lost the election. That's a direct quote, by the way, from former House Speaker, Republican Paul Ryan. So let's just put that out there first and foremost. So back to this story with the Talking Points memo. Remarkably, Samuel Alito, Justice Samuel Alito, admitted to the New York Times via email that the incident had happened, but, get this, blamed his wife for it, claiming she had been personally offended by a neighbor posting, I got to be careful here, what we are led to believe was an F Trump sign, only they used the whole word, F Trump sign, or a similarly blunt message in their own yard. So not in the Alito's yard, but in the neighbor's yard next to it. This is what Alito said to the New York Times, quote, I had no involvement whatsoever in the flying of the flag. It was briefly placed by Mrs. Alito in response to a neighbor's use of objectionable and personally insulting language on yard signs, unquote. So wait a minute here. We have a Supreme Court justice, U.S. Supreme Court justice, who is supposed to clearly understand freedom of speech. If your neighbor wants to put up an objectionable sign that you don't like, you can see if there's an ordinance against it, but, you know,
otherwise,
to get salty about this,
you just got to find a real big straw so you can suck it up.
I guess that's true, too. We'll come back. We'll finish this. It gets even quirkier because now Samuel Alito is trying to do cleanup on aisle 5 on Fox News. We'll tell you what he's saying. This is just odd and weird, and thank God it's Friday. Back with more after this. Stay tuned now for news, weather, and an agricultural update with Midwest Farm Report.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. 4 tornadoes touched down in the Pittsburgh area yesterday. KDKA reporter Krista Rose.
All the tree debris that is out here and the Pittsburgh Public Works are working very hard right now to snap these trees back, to push them back off the roadway.
There were said to be a lot of property damage, but so far no reports of serious injuries. The death toll from Thursday's severe thunderstorms in Houston has now reached 7. Mayor John Whitmire says the focus now is on recovery.
Our first responders, our public works, everyone is working around the clock, all hands on deck.
Trucks carrying badly needed aid for people in the Gaza Strip have been rolling across a newly built U.S. pier and into Gaza. CBS's David Martin says the American troops involved are under an umbrella of protection.
Further out to sea, an American destroyer is standing by, ready to shoot down any incoming rockets or missiles.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Game 2 of the Brewers and Astros coming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The two teams playing at Minute Maid Stadium in Houston, where over 1 million people are without power, millions of dollars of damage after a 100-mile-per-hour windstorm hit the city Thursday night. The Brewers losing last night's game 5-4. They were ahead in the fifth when Freddie Peralta gave up a 3-run homer to Jeremy Pena. So the Astros have now won 6 in a row, 4 games out of first, as they try and climb to the top of their division and at the same time get some rest for some of their starters, Astros manager Joe Espada.
It's a long stretch of game. We're in the middle of 16 games in a row. We have Thursday off, then we're going to another 13, so I try to map out some days off for some of these guys. I talk to them ahead of schedule, but it's not easy, especially when we're playing well, but it's important for us to have these players healthy for the long haul to get to where we want to get to.
NFL former Packers tight end Robert Tonyan has signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Tonyan spent the last year with the Chicago Bears. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For your Saturday, look for mostly cloudy skies, breezy conditions. Some scattered storms are possible in the afternoon, a high around 83. Showers and storms likely tonight, a low around 50. Mostly cloudy and mid-70s on Sunday. For Sunday night, showers and storms and a low of 56.
It's 57 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, I am so excited to be interviewing Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, my former boss. You're not going to want to miss it.
Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, Friday, May 17th, TGIF. Zommers on the board. Toddy here on the microphone. Glad to be with you on a sunny Friday. If you want to join the conversation, we'd welcome your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Or I'll make it easy, 855-75, and then spell out Civic, C-I-V-I-C. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, simply download it to your Apple or Android device. It's free, takes less than a minute, and you can take us with you wherever you go. If you're watching on the stream, by the way, you can watch us as well, either on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, not Twitter. We call it Twix. What Craig Ferguson says, it's not Twix, it's not X, it's Twix. Anyway, if you're watching us, I am modeling today. Look, I'm no Vanna White. I'm no Price is Right model. But I'm modeling one of our, I like this one. It's one of our new merch shirts. And you can find it at civicmedia.us. Thank you. Civicmedia.us, and I think click on shop. And this is kind of the purple or more maroonish, kind of a purple maroonish, and then Civic Media is spelled out on the front. So kind of a low-key, subtle shirt. I like that. So it just kind of gets the message out there, but also a very nice shirt. Let me step away from the microphone in just 1 second, and I will get you our hat.
Oh, yeah. It's a really nice hat, actually. All of these are made to order, and so they turned out really great. We got shipped a box of these hats that we ordered, and they've got embroidered Civic Media on the front, and now we're going to find out if it fits over headphones.
Well, I wasn't going to put it on necessarily, but here's the hat. I'll hold it up. It's, again, kind of that maroonish purple color with the powder blue Civic and the red Media.
See what we did there? It's a half, you know, a little blue, a little red, which puts Civic Media, kind of a purplish. We're telling the truth here. You know, that's what it's about. It's not left or right. It's just telling the truth.
That's the idea. Wherever it may lead.
Wherever it may lead. And by the way, having fun doing it. That's the important part which we try to do. So, okay, we're going to finish this this story up. We started the last segment. And again, this is just quirky and odd and shows the unfortunate state where we're at in this country. Where with lots of places you can find this right now. This one, I think, sets it up well. It's from TalkingPointsMemo.com. And it has to do with this New York Times story yesterday, which uncovered, and as there is now proof, that United States Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, his home was flying the United States flag upside down on their property at their estate leading up to the inauguration of Joe Biden in 2021. And again, this was a well-known symbol at the time for the believers of the big lie and the stop the steal people. Hey, let's fly the flag upside down to show that our country, we feel our country is in trouble. And the Alitos were a part of this. So apparently now, rock solid proof, video or picture proof has been provided. The New York Times went with it. A great story by Jody Cantor, the reporter from the New York Times. And so to do cleanup on this, Justice Alito told the New York Times, quote, "I had no involvement whatsoever in flying of the flag. It was briefly placed by Mrs. Alito in response to a neighbor's use of objectionable and personally insulting language on yard signs." And this all stems from the neighbor putting up a yard sign on their property, the neighbor's, not the Alito's, the neighbor's property that said, and I'm cleaning this up for radio, F Trump, but use the whole word. Now, look, I'm not saying that I didn't condone, you know, ginning things up with the neighborhood. But again, under the First Amendment, the neighbor has the right to do that unless there is like a covenant or something for the neighborhood that bans all yard signs. Some property, some neighborhood, some gated
community. Homeowners associations.
Yeah, they could do that within the association. But if not, there's a constitutional right to put up a, even though it might be disturbing and offensive to some people, the neighbor had the right to put the sign up. So people listening on WMDX here in Madison, Robert from McFarland weighing in, saying Orville Peck. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was about Willie Nelson.
No, we'll come back. Yeah, there we go. Ben listening on WRCE back in the hometown in Richland Center said, Ben says, quote, "He had no control over something that is on his property. I'll use that excuse when it's time to mow the lawn." All right, well, I'll consult your local city council, Ben. Don't follow Justice Alito. So Alito is blaming this, and this is the oldest thing in the book, right? That the guy blames his wife. Well, it wasn't me, it was the wife. I mean, I just think that's unbelievable. Number two, you know, look, when you were a spouse of an elected official, and I spent 30 years in politics, it's not too often that the spouse vehemently disagrees with their elected official spouse or their government official spouse. And particularly when you're a judge or a Supreme Court official, I've known a lot of county judges in my time. And you might kind of know their private leanings. And you say, geez, you got a great spot for a yard sign. Well, I know, but, you know, I can't put anything up. They're not supposed to show partiality, even if they have it. I mean, everybody has some kind of partiality, let's be honest. But a judge is supposed to be able to set that aside and at least give the appearance outwardly that they're going to be nonpartisan, especially a U.S. Supreme Court judge, right? So Alito blames this flying of the upside-down flag on his wife. Back to the story here by Talking Points Memo. Given how thin-skinned, peevish, and quick to offend Alito is himself, I suppose it would be no surprise if his wife were similarly small-minded. Note how Alito's statement, while it blames his wife, also obliquely defends her, quote, objectionable and personally insulting, unquote, and does nothing to disavow what she did. The message is sent, or the way it undermined his already compromised position on the high court. Alito spends much of his time harnessing perceived personal slights to high principle and running around tilting at windmills. Article says, I don't even know anything about his spouse, and she has little public profile, so we're left to wonder if they are kindred spirits in that regard. But even if the kind of people who get in fights with their neighbors and hold themselves in such high regard that they conflate their own wounded ego with fundamental principles, doesn't usually find themselves defending or touting insurrections. As two things now stand, the wives of the two Supreme Court justices, Virginia Thomas, wife of Clarence Thomas, and Martha Ann Alito, have either publicly organized, backed, or expressed support for an effort to subvert the results of the 2020 election. Talking Points memo says, my only gripe with the New York Times story is that it quickly shifts from the facts of what happened to an analysis of the ethical implications for a sitting Supreme Court justice, including whether the Supreme Court's own rules apply to the justices themselves, whether they should be subject to the standards of everyone else in the federal judiciary, and the whys and wherefores of judges not doing anything to appear overtly partisan. Please, it's also pernicious. The more time we spend splitting hairs over the ethical niceties of this or that particular episode, the harder it is to see the big picture. Talking Points memo says, there wasn't merely a matter of the household of a sitting Supreme Court justice improperly demonstrating a partisan preference in a public way. This was a bold declaration or affinity for an alignment with the smoldering insurrection led by a president of the same party that had just been put down, but which still loomed as a threat to civic order. The peaceful transfer of power, which is that point, had still not yet happened, and the rule of law. All Alito can muster in response is to blame his wife? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Wisco Paul calling in on a Friday. Wisco, we appreciate it. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Todd, and happy Friday to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But the only, you know, the Supreme Court goes back to Gore Bush. And I really didn't get that upset back then because it was kind of a close call. And the Republicans just did a better job of explaining the whole thing than the Gore side. But this new revelation from the Supreme Court, everything's on the table. They are definitely corrupt because it's more than just this. Gorsuch took money. You know what? I don't want to be too much of an alarmist, you know.
Right.
I don't want to, but this isn't good. This isn't good for the this isn't good for anybody that you have a Supreme Court that they're going to put party before rule the way it looks. So I don't know where to go with this, Todd, but I'm a little alarmed about the whole thing, especially with the upcoming election.
Right.
And, you know how I feel about Trump. So with that, thanks for bringing this to light. Thanks for your show. And you have a great weekend.
Always appreciate it, Wisco. You have a great weekend as well. Wisco brings up a great point. And his point that I take away from this is as great as this. It once again emphasizes the importance of your vote in this election. As we've heard from others, particularly the Lincoln Project, there is no cavalry coming, all right? Or cavalry, maybe cavalry too. There is no cavalry coming. If you're one of these people that are like, well, the courts are going to take care of this. Well, there's 91 indictments. He'll have to be found guilty on one of these. And surely Trump won't be allowed to serve as president. Surely Republicans will come to their senses, the MAGAs, and abandon him. That somehow magically something else will happen that Trump won't be the nominee and will somehow prevent him from being president. Wake up, folks. Smell the coffee. That ain't happening. I don't know what the results of this current trial in New York are going to be. But if you're pinning your hopes on, even if he's found guilty, and convicted and potentially put under house arrest or something, that does not prevent him from being the nominee or elected or serving as president. The only way to stop Trump and Trumpism is to get your posteriors to the polls on November 5th and vote for Joe Biden. I hope it's also a wake-up call to my friends on the far left, folks that are upset with President Biden right now for various things and saying they're considering staying home or voting for someone else. That is a vote for Donald Trump. And that is a vote for someone who is going to empower this court, to Wisco's point, and most likely will appoint at least one, the next president most likely will appoint at least one more Supreme Court justice. Do you want to put this in the hands of yet another Trump-appointed Supreme Court justice? Even if you're disgruntled with Joe Biden, and you, for whatever reason that your personal feelings are that he's done a bad job or hasn't gone far enough, I respect that. I don't agree with it. I respect it. But think of it in these terms. Are you willing to let your feelings about Joe Biden help elect Trump again, which will most assuredly bring a national abortion ban, which most assuredly will abandon, get rid of marriage equality and other LGBTQ rights, will most assuredly gut the environment, will most assuredly make sure that rich people and billionaires get even more tax loopholes, and will most assuredly bring another Trump-appointed Supreme Court justice? Is standing on your principles of today worth letting all those other things happen? I would hope the answer is no. And it shows the importance of why you have to get out, why we have to get out and vote for Joe Biden. We're going to finish. There's one more footnote on this Alito stuff. He spoke to Fox News today, and it got weirder. We'll tell you about it after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having a good time doing it, or having fun doing it, whichever you prefer. We have a good time and fun at the same time. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Zomer's on the board taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going to finish up here on this quirky, odd story broken by the New York Times yesterday. Just read you kind of the analysis piece from Talking Points Memo. On Justice Alito's household flying the American flag upside down in solidarity with these people that believe that the election was stolen and that somehow Biden wasn't and isn't the legitimate president, which he is. That's proven fact. And that a sitting Supreme Court justice was in solidarity with a movement that didn't believe in an election and tried to overturn it. New York Times apparently has concrete evidence of this, ran with it yesterday. Alito confirmed it, but blamed it on his wife. It was my wife that flew the flag upside down, not me. Well, apparently now there's more cleanup going on from the Alito side, and he spoke with Shannon Bream, or Bream, B-R-E-A-M, Bream. Shannon Bream from Fox News. And Bream put this out on Twitter a couple of hours ago. Bream says, quote, "I spoke directly with Justice Alito about the flag story in the New York Times. In addition to what's in the story, he, Alito, told a neighbor on their street had an F Trump sign that was within 50 feet of where children await for school buses on January 21st. Mrs. Alito brought this up with the neighbor." Hang on to your hat. According to Justice Alito, things escalated when the neighbor put up a sign personally addressing Mrs. Alito and blaming her for the January 6th attacks. Justice Alito says he and his wife were walking in the neighborhood and there were words between Mrs. Alito and the male at the home with the sign. Got to be very careful. Alito says the man engaged in vulgar language, quote, including the C word, unquote. I'm not making this up. Following the exchange, Mrs. Alito was distraught and hung the flag upside down, quote, for a short time. Justice Alito says some neighbors on the street are, quote, very political and acknowledged it was a heated time in the country. So this coming from Shannon Bream from Fox News. Now, again, New York Times has been able to produce concrete evidence of the U.S. flag hanging upside down on the Alito's property. Justice Alito has confirmed that. But then he not only blames his wife, he puts forth this story that is completely unconfirmed with no evidence that there was a heated exchange, that the derogatory word for a woman beginning with C is used. And so Mrs. Alito goes home and hangs the flag upside down. It seems to me like a lot of political cleanup for a person that got caught, Alito, being part of supporting an insurrection. And look, as much as I disagree with it, if people want to buy into this false narrative, a common citizen, that's one thing. This is a sitting U.S. Supreme Court justice. That ain't good, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Jack and Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, yeah. Some of the neighbors are political. Excuse me.
Who's not these days, right?
Well, yeah, but most certainly there's no question that Alito is extremely political.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if anybody's going to blame any Supreme Court justice's wife for being involved in the insurrection, they need to look at Clarence Thomas.
Right.
But what I really wanted to address here is this. Every time there is some factual information that's given out and there's clear evidence,
mm-hmm.
we've got a third of the country that basically says that is that the evidence doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe. And this is probably the most dangerous thing about the MAGA movement is the ability to get people to deny reality, to deny evidence. And it goes all the way from the idiocy about the 2020 election to global warming accepting the efficacy of vaccines. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And if you look at the Project 2025 and what's proposed there, it's proposed that all scientific findings from any of the federal agencies have to be in alignment, and this is, I think, a quote, with conservative principles.
Right.
Excuse me?
Right.
Scientific findings?
Right.
I mean, that's basically saying here's the answer. You go ahead and prove it.
Appreciate the call, Jack. Got to get Gene here in from Eau Claire. Gene, I'm not sure what you make of this. Again, Justice Alito claims that the neighbor called his wife the quote-unquote C-word. I'm not sure if he was talking about the Constitution or what, but Gene, what say you?
I say give me a break and my dog ate my homework. But using the American flag to turn it upside down to say F you to your neighbor, boy, she sure's got a lot of love for America and democracy if that's what she was trying to do. You know, this guy's been a questionable character for a long time, and so has Thomas and all of the things that have done since they're in the court. So I wish some legal scholar would give us some ideas of what in the devil we can do about this type of thing, because this is the highest court in the country. But thank you so much for this story. It's just amazing. Blame your wife. Right? Just like a typical, you know what, blame your wife. Have a good day and have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too, Gene. Thanks. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend yourself. Yeah, it's so bizarre to me. Because we're talking about a U.S. Supreme Court justice, all right? Even if you did get in words with your neighbors or on different sides of the fence, you were a Supreme Court justice. And it wasn't just flying the flag upside down. You knew that this was part of a signal, particularly at that time, that you were pro-insurrection. And it raised a lot of questions. You know, as the caller said, Supreme Court Clarence Thomas and Alito, who seemingly, through their wives and otherwise, have bought into the big lie. Come back, lighten things up, more news on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for news now. Hour number two of the show is ahead, right here on the Todd Oliveball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we kick off the week leading up to Memorial Day weekend with a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please, can we make it stop? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. At least seven people were killed when winds whipped through Houston Thursday. It could take weeks for everyone to get their power back. CBS's Dave Malkoff reports.
Building after building, block after block, windows blown out by 100-mile-per-hour winds.
You can hear the crunch as I walk along the glass-covered streets of a major American downtown. All the glass coming down onto the street below, just pouring down as this wind whipped the building apart.
The National Weather Service says four tornadoes touched down in the Pittsburgh area yesterday. CBS News Pittsburgh reporter Ricky Sayre.
Neighbors are finding shingles on the sidewalks. Some porch furniture found its way onto the street. The winds pushed a grill about 20 feet. It took a railing with it. The owner of the home told us she got the call about what happened and started panicking, saying she couldn't think straight.
Golfer Scottie Scheffler played well at the PGA Championship in Louisville, Kentucky, after he was arrested, charged with assault for allegedly not following orders at the scene of a fatal accident. Correspondent Danya Backus.
An attorney for Scheffler described it as a misunderstanding and denies the golfer assaulted the officer with his vehicle. Scheffler said in a statement that he was proceeding as directed by officers and that he never intended to disregard any of the instructions. Scheffler eventually teed off after the chaotic morning, shooting a 5 under 66, one stroke better than his Thursday round.
The man convicted of attacking former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband with a hammer inside the couple's San Francisco home in 2022, was sentenced to 30 years in prison. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
In Paul Pelosi's letter, he describes the ongoing lingering pain and health problems he's suffering because of that attack, ranging from migraines to dizziness to balance issues, walking issues, light sensitivity, and also described the gruesomeness of the injury to his hand in that attack. Nancy Pelosi, in asking for a long sentence, described the trauma the family has suffered and how she tries not to talk about that attack with Paul Pelosi so as not to trigger any memories.
Trucks carrying aid to Gaza rolled across a new U.S.-built pier.
National Security spokesman John Kirby says that in addition to the 1,000 soldiers and sailors conducting the mission, a small force of U.S. troops is protecting the causeway anchored to the shore. A Pentagon official says the troops are at the end of the causeway, about 500 yards offshore, and will not violate President Biden's order of no American boots on the ground in Gaza. Further out to sea, an American destroyer is standing by, ready to shoot down any incoming rocket.